Time for another Taco Tuesday on Q92, where we get together with Amber Blands, registered dietitian nutritionist with Immunutrition right here in Madison, Minnesota. Talk about nutrition. We've been talking about the holidays and all kinds of topics, Amber, lately, and we got another good one for him today.
I hope so.
I think so.
Last week's was a little more controversial than I anticipated.
Is that right?
People disagree on food safety, I've learned.
What's to disagree about?
How to thaw your turkey.
Well, how to thaw your turkey. I can't remember. What did you suggest?
I suggested the best option is in the fridge. but that you could also cool it thawed under cold water, but you've got to change that water every 30 minutes.
Okay.
Nobody's got time to change water every 30 minutes. But I was talking to a friend, and she said, someone came up to me and said, Amber says I'm supposed to thaw my turkey in the fridge. Yes, I did.
That's the true story.
Best option is to thaw in the fridge. But you know what? I'm not here to judge. I'm just giving you information. You do with it what you will.
And if you get sick, it's your own fault.
That's right.
All right. You're not taking responsibility.
Don't say I didn't warn you.
That's right. Well, we're going to be talking about the kitchen today. But
we are.
How to arrange your kitchen and use it for most of the greatest efficiency.
Yeah. You know, I have to give Kyle a little credit for coming up with this one. Because yesterday when we were both going for lunch, we grabbed different things. And I said, oh, I kind of forgot about that one for leftovers. And we were talking about how one of our leftovers was stored at his eye level, and the other leftovers were stored at my level, eye level. We're about a foot different. And he said, you know, that's kind of a good thing to talk about, because it really does matter. If we think about any store you can shop in, but especially on this topic, grocery stores are set up to help you purchase what they want you to purchase, right? So what you see, what's at your eye level, what's at your children's eye level, what's on the end caps, what's in that impulse section before you check out. All of that matters, because it's what you see. And what you see is what you're more likely to buy. And just like at home, what you see is what you're most likely to eat, or what's most readily accessible. And a really easy example of that is, I think every single one of us has had something go bad in the back of that vegetable drawer. You pile a bunch of stuff on it, and then all of a sudden one day you pull it out and you look in there and you think, I'm not really even sure what this used to be. So this is kind of an opportunity for us to talk about, when you look at your kitchen, when you open your fridge, when you open your cupboards, what's looking at you first? Is it your healthiest options? Is it the things that are going to nourish you? Or is it your easiest options, which are not always the most nourishing things? So I'm a sucker. I always tell people my weakness is chips, and really any kind of dip is my weakness. So if I have tortilla chips and some kind of dip, and that's what's at my eye level, and that's what's at the front of the fridge, it's going to be a lot easier to choose something like that as a snack than to cut up that apple and have it with some peanut butter, or to, you know, open the drawer that has the cheese stick in it and have, or cut off cheese, which again takes more effort than just opening a jar and opening a bag. So we want to think about, how do we have our kitchen set up? How do we have our things there? And when we think about that too, one of the other topics that came up, actually when I was talking to Mom today, is clear storage. I store almost everything in our fridge in a mason jar. Mason jars are relatively inexpensive. They went through a little bit of a price hike and a difficulty with availability during COVID, when everybody was home and learning how to can and using mason jars for whatever people use mason jars for during COVID. But they're pretty easy to get again now. And you can get them in so many different sizes. So historically, we haven't been doing, we store all of our leftovers in there, but we used to, when both of us worked outside the house, we would put all of our leftovers in portion-controlled mason jars. So if you've got a 16-ounce mason jar and you have stir-fry, for example, you can't put 2 cups of rice in it because you wouldn't have any stir-fry. So it kind of naturally limits a little bit how much you're eating and can kind of help you portion control if that's something that you struggle with. We have some big ones, so we can put big amounts of leftovers in there, which is then we're able to look at the fridge and see what we have versus opaque containers where it might just sit there. You're like, oh, I wonder what's in that container. I'm not going to open that right now. We'll deal with that later. We'll just eat what I can see and what's ready. So kind of thinking about how you store your food, where you store it, even having things, everybody's heard about having snacks prepared. You know, if you buy celery to have celery and peanut butter or celery and cream cheese or just celery and dip or as a snack, if you have a whole stalk of celery, you're far less likely to eat it when you're hungry than if you already have it cut up. Same thing with fruit. If you've got a pineapple or a cantaloupe sitting on your counter, you're probably not just going to cut it when you're hungry. You're going to go for something that's already ready. So try to do some of those prepped things when you're feeling motivated or when you have the time, so that when you're less motivated and maybe a little more hungry, that stuff is just grab and go like the other snacks that you might have in your house. So kind of setting your kitchen up in a way that is like a grocery store, I guess. Trying to prioritize the nourishing things toward the front. And the less nourishing things, it's not like you can't have them in your house. I'm not saying that there's any food we have to avoid altogether, but it's just maybe not having that stuff front and center all the time. And we can do the same thing with the holidays too. What do we usually leave on the counter over the holidays?
Snacking items.
Yeah.
Chips.
Chips. Dip.
Chickpeas.
Nobody leaves chickpeas on their counter. But it's like the cookies and stuff like that, right? The things that don't necessarily need to be refrigerated. You walk by, you grab another one. I mean, it's easy to walk through that kitchen 14 times in a day. You probably don't need 14 cookies. You don't need 14 cookies. Yeah, all right. You may want 14
difference
cookies.
Difference between needs and wants. That's right.
That's another show. So thinking about what are you leaving out when it comes to your holiday weekend. And again, it's not that those cookies are bad. It's not that you can't have the cookies. But maybe after everyone's had their dessert, we put them in a container and set them somewhere else for a little while. So we're not just in and out grabbing all of that stuff. Because all of that sugar that we get, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, is far more likely to cause that energy crash and the need for that afternoon nap than the tryptophan in the turkey that we usually blame for our fatigue. You'd have to eat a lot of tryptophan for that to factor in. But all the sugar, all those carbs, all the extra stuff and the large portions that we're taking in over the holidays, that's kind of what gets us in a little more trouble with the energy levels.
And drink a lot of coffee, too. That's my recommendation.
Is it?
Yeah.
To get your energy levels
get
up.
Get your energy level up, yes.
And, you know, up to 4 cups of coffee per day has been shown to be beneficial.
Is that all?
You know, I will say I haven't seen...
Well, I think 8 should be really beneficial, then.
Sure, we'll go that way. Okay, really, if you replace some of that fluid with water, like if caffeine itself can be a diuretic, it can help kind of flush fluid through our system. That's why often after people have that first cup of coffee, they need to use the restroom. People will tell me that that's their tip to staying regular is their coffee, and it does work that way. But if we have too much coffee during the day, then we're also potentially losing a little more fluid. So a couple glasses of water mixed in with those 8 cups of coffee might help out a little bit.
Okay. I'll remember that during the holidays.
Will you?
I will.
I'll remind you during the holidays.
You keep an eye on me. You'll be seeing quite a bit of me. So
I will. Yeah. So just kind of think about that. You know, when you're putting your leftovers away, when you're doing your grocery shopping trip for next week after we get through the holidays, when you're bringing those sweets and treats and snacks home or baking them for whatever gathering or potluck you're going to, just kind of think about what are we leaving out? And what's kind of hidden in the fridge and the cabinets, pushed to the back, away from our view.
And, of course, going back to last week's topic on food safety.
Yes.
Make sure you kind of watch what you're leaving out.
Yes.
If you made some deviled eggs or something like that.
What a great point. I'm not telling you to leave your turkey sitting out on the counter all day for people to snack on. But maybe set it toward the front of the fridge and put the pie toward the back of the fridge so that people have to...
There you go.
Go for the turkey first.
Right.
But yes, food safety. If you didn't listen, you can get that one online. Go back and...
It's right on the podcast.
Take a listen. Don't leave your meat and cheese tray sitting out if you have one.
That's a recommendation. Right. Definitely don't leave the meat and cheese tray out.
Yes.
Yep.
Eat it quick. Somebody said to me this last week, you know, I thought lunch meat would be a thing that would be safe. And I said, that's one of the quickest things to turn. So.
Yeah, well, I don't think it was the cheese. I think it was the meat.
It was the meat.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Summer, you used to have cheese when I was in college, our dormitory, I remember we just had somebody gave me a big piece of cheese for Christmas, and I just set it in the window It was wintertime, you know, so it was a little cool up there. But
sure.
It took us forever to eat that cheese. Nobody got sick, but I don't think I could have done that with lunch and meat.
No, cheese is a little, yeah. It's going to take a lot longer for cheese to turn and make you sick than lunch meat, sure.
Watch the meat.
That's right, yes.
All right. Well, if anybody has any questions on arranging their kitchen or food safety or anything else to do with nutrition, how do they find you?
Yeah, you can find me online at imunutrition.com. That's imunutrition.com. Or you can find me on Facebook at imunutrition.
All right. Sounds good. And you have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
We'll talk to you after the Thanksgiving holiday next week.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Amber Boyan with another Taco Tuesday here on Q92.